Good afternoon, everybody. So today we're going to talk about a shaila that I got just yesterday. A talmud of mine, Sammy Ryan, recently became a father. They had a baby boy, and he had a whole bunch of questions about the vachnacht. Question number one, is that a thing? Is that a real minhag? Question number two, does it have to be at night? Question number three, how many children have to be there? What do you have to give the children that come to the vachnacht? What is all this based on? So even before we get to what it's based on, what's it even called? Is that the term? So there are three different names for it. There's vachnacht, there's vachtnacht, and my Yiddish is not that great, but I think there's, you know, one means awake at night, and the other one means a night of watching. And then there's the Sfardim call it the Brit Yitzchak, that's the Bris of Yitzchak. So the original source seems to be based on the Zohar, where the Zohar says that Talmidei Chachamim would learn with the baby the night before the Bris Mila, and many people have the minhag that they actually learn that section of Zohar at the Vachnacht. Now the question is why? What is the basis for this? So there are really three elements to the minhag. There's the element of learning Torah together or in the vicinity of the baby. There is the element of children coming and saying Psukim, Shema Yisrael, Amal Chagoel, those types of things. And there's the element of food, of providing treats and for the children, or food for the adults. And it could be that when you go through the reasons for why we observe this practice, that each reason relates to a different one of these elements of this minhag. As far as the element of learning, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yutes and the Medrash Rabba and Breishis Rabba Mem Hei Ches says that Avraham Avinu rescues people with the Bris Mila from Gehenim, and that he sits by the Pesach Gan Eden and he doesn't allow anybody in if they don't have a bris. So the zechus of a bris mila is enormous. Consequently, the Matamosha and Hilchus Mila and the Tamei Amaragim write that the Satan tries to prevent the mila from happening with everything he's got, because the zechus is such an enormous zechus. So what's the best way to ward off the Satan? Is by learning Torah. So we learn Torah around the baby, and that keeps the Satan away from the baby. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lama tells us that the Torah learning keeps the Malach HaMavis away, and the Gemara in Basra tells us that the Malach HaMavis is the Satan. It's the same guy. So the best way to keep the Satan away is by learning Torah. Malach HaMavis, Yetzer Hara, and Satan are all the same. So based on that, the Zohar HaBris writes in Gimel Dalid that there is no need for a Vachnacht when the Bris is on Shabbos, because Shabbos itself has a certain protective power. In fact, the Debre Tzina Rav in his Tshuvas in Ber Moshe quotes a minhag of putting protective svarim in the baby's crib. Those who are so inclined to such minhagim, like they put a Noam Elimelech in the baby's crib. So they ask the Debre Tzina Rav, is this like a disrespectful thing to do to your Noam Elimelech? And he says, no, it's not a bizoy svarim. You're taking advantage of the protective nature of the sefer, which is not something we're so accustomed to do with svarim, although Rav Shechter has a remarkable story about the Chazon Ish sending a copy of his sefer to someone in Scranton, where Rav Shechter grew up, and telling him that, or in Philadelphia, and telling the person that he should put the Chazon Ish under the sefer Chazon Ish under his daughter's pillow. His daughter was very ill, and you know, so there is something about some protective nature of Svarim. Now, the second reason that's quoted is the Siddur Beis Yaakov, Mavri Yabok, Etar Anan Ktores, tells us, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, that we give the child extra Kedusha before the Bris. And that's what we're trying to do. So that would explain why we have children there. There's nothing holier than Hevel Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban, Hevel Piyam Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban. So it's, and that also has a protective quality as well. And then the third reason that relates to the Su'udas, that in general we do a bris with as much celebration as possible. The Gemara in Shabbos Taf Kuf Lamed tells us that any mitzvah that we originally accepted with simcha, we still fulfill with simcha, like bris mila. Some svarim even record a minhag that the sandik hosts the party on the night before the bris. But the point is that there are apparently three reasons given for doing something on the night before the bris, and each of the reasons highlights a different element. There's again either the protective nature from the Kitrug of the Satan, which would highlight the learning element. There's the Tosefes Kedusha before the Bris, which would highlight the children saying Psukim element. And then there's the Simcha element, the adding to the celebration, which would highlight the food element. Now, it does appear in Shulchan Aruch, in Yardeas and Mukufa in Ches, in discussing the Halach of Bechukoseim Lo Selechu, the Raman, Sif Gimel, records, Yesh Mekamo Shenagu, Laruch Shulchan V'lasim Olav Minei Machal B'Laila Shalom Achar Malin Tinok. The Rama writes that there are places that have a minhag that they would set a table and put food on the table the night before the bris. And says the Rama, v'yesh baza iser mishum ha'orchem lagad shulchan, that it's an iser of the what the Navi in Yeshayahu Samachay tells us, that something that they would do for Avodah Zarah, to set a table for the Avodah Zarah. He says, avalaruch mita l'mazel ha'tinok yesh matirin, but to set a bed for the mazel of the tinok, that yesh matirin. So there's a minute to arrange a table, put out food the night before a bris. The Rama says it's aser, because the Navi said that they would set up a table for Avodah Zarah, but whatever it means to be laruch hamita l'mazel ha'tinok, that they are matir. So it sounds from the Rama that this whole minig of achnacht is aser, that you're not allowed to do it. So leaving aside all the wonderful reasons, it sounds like an iser. So the Shach in Sivkat and Vav writes, no, mikol mako masha noag in Bartzel Seilu, sha'olsen suda b'layla shalamachar malam ha'tinok, the fact that we make a suuda the night before the bris. And he writes, shakorin vach, ein iser, de dafka l'shum minimachal, l'asum minimachal, l'shulchan al-nichem kach asr, mishum davi korich l'gad shulchan, aval besuda, ein iser, says the Shach, no, what the Rama's talking about is if they set a table and didn't eat. You set a table with food, ki'ilu you're setting it up for the Avodah Zarah, and then you don't partake of it, but if you actually have a suuda, no, that's wonderful, that's a great idea. There's nothing wrong with that. It could very well be that this is very similar to the notion of staying up late on Shavuos and having food on Shavuos night in the shul. It keeps you awake, meaning the whole point is really to stay up learning with the baby, but who's going to stay up learning? You need something to keep you awake, so you have a little bit of food and you put out food and you leave it there so that people could eat it. If you just leave it there without anybody eating it, that's similar to the Avodah Zarah. But even the Shach stops short of saying that it's a mitzvah. He just says ein iser. He doesn't say that it's good, he just says ein iser. So some point out that diuk in the Shach and they say that it's not a mitzvah. However, the Dagal Mervava on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quotes Gemara Baba Kama Daf Pei that talks about a su'udah called the Yeshua HaBen, which is a su'udah that a child was saved from being inside of his mother, so they make a su'udah's hoda'ah, so to speak. And the Gemara describes how miraculous it is. The Gemara Nida talks about how miraculous it is for a child to be born and come out into the world, and every Pesach that in his body that was closed is now opened up, and you know, it's just the number of miracles that have to happen during childbirth. So we have a suuda called the Yeshua HaBen. So most of the Rishonim assume that refers to a Shalom Zachar. But says the Dagum Ravava, no, it's the Vachnacht. It's what you do right before the bris, the suuda you have the night before the bris. So the question is, okay, so the Shach says it's not Usr. Dagum Ravava says it might even be the suuda of Yeshua HaBen that the Gemara in Baba Kama talks about. Is it a suudas mitzvah? So, l'may nafkamina, you'll do it anyway. What difference does it make whether it's a suudas mitzvah or not? So there could be several nafkaminas. One nafkamina is Shavua Shechal Bo Tishvav. Can you have basar v'yayin at a vachnacht and Shavua Shechal Bo Tishvav for a suudas bris? You can, but what about for a suudas vachnacht? Or if another nafkamina might be, the Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Reish Yud Zayin talks about someone who takes a neder not to eat chutz mi beso except for a suudas mitzvah. So if someone takes such a neder, is he allowed to eat chutz mi beso at a vachnacht? Another nafkamina perhaps might be whether a woman is allowed to eat at a vachnacht if she's going to the mikveh that day. The halacha is that the minhag is that recorded in Shulchan Aruch that b'yom lecht on the beis hatfilah, on the day that a woman is going to be tovel, that entire day she doesn't eat basar because of basar bein hashinayim. Yet we are makel when it comes to sudas mitzvah. That's why if a woman's lel tevila is motzai Shabbos, there's nothing wrong if she wants to eat a flesh of gashalah shudas. She's allowed to eat a flesh of gashalah shudas because that's a sudas mitzvah. So is it or is it not a sudas mitzvah? So the Nachla Shiva in Simin Yud Beis, Ol Salav, Nachla Shiva is primarily about shtaros, but he brings a chuvas mara mince that they used to give sivlonos before a wedding, and they made a su'uda. So there was a question whether it's a sudas mitzvah. So Maramin says that it is a sudas mitzvah, the suda of the sivlonos for the night before the wedding, and he says, who adin, the suda the night before the mila, is also called the sudas mitzvah. He just throws it in there. So it's not so clear to bring a raya from that Maramin, because the implication is that since the sivlonos are a mitzvah, the accompanying suuda is also a mitzvah. But by the night before the bris, there is no accompanying mitzvah. The mitzvah is by the bris. You'll have a suuda by the bris tomorrow. But the question is, the suuda you're doing the night before, what's the mitzvah that it's being connected to? So it's not so clear that you have a raya from the Maramin. Sivlonos are an inyan, are a mitzvah. So then, together with that mitzvah, you do a suda, the suda becomes a sudas mitzvah. Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah in Siman Taf Reish Mem quotes this Nachla Shiva, and he says Veinu Mochrach. He says Adrabba, it's only because Sivlonos that it becomes a sudas mitzvah. Without the Sivlonos, it's not a sudas mitzvah. Mimela the Vachnacht is not a sudas mitzvah. Magen Avraham concludes that it's not a sudas mitzvah. Pischei Tshuva in Yoredei Reish Yitzayin Sivkan Tazayin, he quotes the Chavos Yoyer in Siman Ayin that lists what is and is not a sudas mitzvah, and he says that a vachnacht is not a sudas mitzvah. There's a stir in the Magen Avraham though about sudas sivlonos. In some Tavkuf Nunches by Hilchos Tisha B'Av, he says it's not a sudas mitzvah, and as we said before, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Sukkah that sudas sivlonos is a sudas mitzvah. So the El Yerabba points out that stir and pasuk like the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah, Mishabur and Tavkuf Nunal of Sivkat and Samach Beis, where the Ramah says that a sudas bris is a sudas mitzvah, and that Pidyon Ben is the Mishvura says Pidyon Ben is also, but the Mishvura says a vachnacht is not a sudas mitzvah, and that's what he quotes from the Yad Ephraim as well. So the majority of poskim seem to assume, unlike that Nachla Shiva, that a vachnacht would not qualify as a sudas mitzvah. What do you do at a vachnacht? Like, what are the practices? So in the Bris Avos Lel Shimur Mos Yud Gimel, he says that young children should come to the home and say Shema and other nice psukim, and that's quoted by the Otsar Bris as well. The Mishnah in Brachos tells us that we say the Ahavta before Vahaya, because first you have to be Mekabel Olmach Shemayim and then Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. So maybe that's the Inyan, that before the Mitzvah of Mila, we do a Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim, that we dafka say these psukim of Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim before he does the Mitzvah, before he enters into the covenant of Mitzvos. In the Kutei Ma'ariach in Sefer Mila, he says, based on the Gemara in Brachos Taf Hei, that Kol HaKor Kriyash Malamitas Kilu Oches Cherev Shal Shtei Pios Biyado, that it's as if you're holding a double-edged sword. So what does that mean? That you can ward off all mazikin with the koach of kriyashma. So specifically, they dafka say kriyashma around the baby. But it seems that that is a later version of the minhag. That the original minhag was really not so much about the children saying kriyashma, but it was about adults staying up all night and learning with the baby or in the vicinity of the baby. But it's a lot easier to get some kids to come and say shema for 3 minutes and then give them a pekala than it is to stay up learning all night. So people have chapped on to that part of the minhag and not so much the other. But it would be a nice idea the night before a bris to stay up learning a little bit with the baby. I remember when my chavrusa, one of Rabbi Rosner, when one of his boys were born when he was still living in Woodmere before he made Aliyah, he invited a whole chavra over to his house and we sat and learned. I remember we did a couple of dapim. We always prepared daf yomi together. So we learned very nicely in his house. It was like a kol Torah, a real base medrash, in honor of the baby's upcoming bris. We didn't go all night, but we went to midnight at least, I think, if I recall correctly. So that's a nice thing to do, to learn Torah in the vicinity of the baby, and that should halavai, that should protect the baby, and it should protect everybody. Torah has a protective power, and also the zuchus of Torah is an enormous zuchus. To associate any mitzvah that you're doing with the Talmud Torah that comes along with it is always a wonderful thing to do. Okay, everyone should have a great day, and I'll see you on Wednesday.